John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today.
Sarah Holden joining us now, Senior Director and Retirement and Investor Research at the Investment Company Institute. Sarah, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Thanks so much for having me, John.
I appreciate it very much. So first off, what is the Investment Company Institute, or ICI?
ICI is the leading trade association globally for the regulated fund industry. So this includes mutual funds and exchange-traded funds, or ETFs, here in the United States. Our members manage total assets of more than $38 trillion globally. And really, we're helping millions, hundreds of millions of investors meet their financial goals.
All right. So we're just coming off of, well, kind of still in a pandemic. I guess we're now going on the second year of this, but I know a lot of folks are looking at, you know, their taxes and what they have to do. I know things were moved to May 17th. I know all the details of that aren't totally worked out yet by the IRS, but it's May 17th now. Give us a few tips on what folks can do when it comes to saving on taxes.
Sure. So 2020 was a really stressful year for most Americans. As you know, COVID hit the United States last March. The stock market went down, but then came back up. And many people found, changing jobs and things like that. So in looking at your taxes, it might make sense to consider contributing to an individual retirement account or an IRA, because if you are able to do a deductible contribution, you can actually reduce last year's taxes.
Okay, so explain exactly how that works, and has that deadline been moved, or so can we do that all the way up to May 17th as well, or does that have to be in by April 15th like usual?
So the tax deadline has been moved for filing taxes. The IRS has not yet said what it's doing with the IRA contributions, although they do typically move it. So you'll just have to keep an eye on the IRS website. But the thing to think about is there's two main types of IRAs are available to individuals. Traditional IRAs and Roth IRAs. And with the traditional IRA, you may be able to make a before-tax contribution, and you can count it as having occurred last year through whatever the tax filing date turns out to be. So this is a way to reduce your taxes in terms of getting that money out of your income. Whether or not you can do that, contributing to an IRA is still a good idea, because once the money is in the IRA, each year it compounds and grows, so it has capital gains and it has earnings, and you don't pay any taxes on that until you get to retirement. And with the traditional, when you take the money out in retirement, that is when you pay taxes on it. So it's really a great opportunity year over year over year to reduce your taxes, actually.
Versus, and I'm not an expert in your world, so correct me if I'm wrong, versus a Roth IRA, which you put in after tax dollars, but there's no tax when it comes out. Is that right?
That's correct. So with the Roth IRA, you contribute after tax. So you don't get that immediate tax break, but the money still grows and compounds in the account without you paying taxes. And then when you take it out in retirement, you do take it out tax-free. We find that quite a few younger investors like the Roth approach, because they're early in their career, so their tax rate is low now, and so the upfront deduction is not as important to them, and they'd rather have the peace of mind of knowing that later in retirement, they'll be able to take that money out tax-free.
Okay. Other things folks could look at, and again, I'm a small business owner, and I help small businesses with things along these lines, so I know the small business end of it on a personal basis. So, Sarah, that's kind of where I'll be honest, it's not my area of strength by any stretch of the imagination. Individually speaking, what are things folks can do outside of an IRA, you know, to look at lowering their overall tax burden?
Well, really the best and first place to look in terms of saving for retirement is at your employer. And if you're a small employer, you can do this for yourself as well as for your workers. And that's through a 401k plan. So typically your contributions are tax deductible, and then they compound and grow inside the account without you paying taxes. And when you get to retirement, you will draw the money and pay taxes then. So I think considering the IRA and then also looking at your 401k, but many folks are saving for other goals. They may be saving for a home or education. And for those folks, they may want to look outside of, you know, retirement account and just look to invest in the market more generally. And here I would say that, mutual fund investors say that they are using mutual funds to save for those important financial goals. And these funds offer a diversified investment. So it invests in a range of things, stocks and bonds. There's a range of investment styles. You could look to invest in the whole market, like an S&P 500 fund, or you could look for active management if you're trying to get into the international stock markets. You can also find investing that looks towards the environment. So there's many, many options out there, and funds are professionally managed, diversified, and cost-effective, so you can get in that pool and really have access to a whole market out there.
One of the things, Sarah, that I know, and I do know this because I've talked to some individuals where I think there's a misconception when it comes to your own personal residence and what those, you know, capital gains that are not taxed on your personal residence are. A lot of folks think that as long as I go buy a more expensive home and take that money out and wrap it into the new home, I have no capital gains. But that's not necessarily the case, is it?
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of circumstances when it comes to investing in a home and then either trading up or downsizing. I think when we think about home ownership, the thing to realize is that the key thing your home is going to provide you with is shelter. So a place to live. And that will be a place to live while you're working. And if you get to retirement, most people have paid off their mortgage by the time they get to retirement. And so that home continues to be really a resource for them in giving them housing through those retirement years as well.
Okay. And again, folks, yeah. And by the way, I'm not a tax planner on that, but I do know that some folks can get themselves, you know, I shouldn't say trouble, but, you know, they think, okay, well, I've got, you know, X amount of money I can make on this current home. And if I go to the next home and just put all that money back into it, then I don't owe any taxes. Talk to your tax planner, your tax accountant along those lines, folks, because those are some things that if you're not careful can, you know, kind of come back and bite you. You know, Sarah, what are other things that folks, you know, maybe don't do well enough when it comes to, you know, saving for the future and or, you know, the investment side? I mean, we know we're talking about, you know, 401ks, IRAs, and so on. But when it just comes, you know, in generally speaking, as we head forward and we look at inflation and things along those lines, which may very well come, you know, what do you see some of the other things folks not taking advantage of and or, you know, making mistakes in these areas?
So I think really most folks are saving for their long-term goals, paycheck by paycheck, typically through a 401k plan at work. They may also be investing outside of those retirement accounts, in which case the majority of Americans actually have reached towards stock investing. So you talked a bit about inflation, and when you're investing, you want to try to think about, am I willing to take on some risk so that I can get a bit more return so that my money can really work for me and grow for me. And a way to do that is by investing in the stock market. But it's so important to go into it with your eyes open in terms of what kind of investor are you? Are you someone who can, you know, stomach the risk of the market going up and down? But also recognize that maybe you're not a do-it-yourself investor. And maybe you'd like a bit of help. So you can get help by going through a financial advisor or through a full service broker. If you're a direct person, you could go straight to a mutual fund company or straight to a discount broker. But whichever way you decide to access the market, it's really key to look for diversification. So don't put all your eggs in one basket. You want to look for a range of investments, so stocks and bonds. You want to look for a range of areas that they're investing in. So it's not all technology, or it's not all health, or it's not all in the United States, but that it, you know, so you have your, you know, possibility of getting a range of returns from a range of places. And I think really that's key in terms of you want to do this little by little, know yourself and recognize the level of risk that you're willing to take on, get some help if you need to in terms of some financial advice, or in that process, if you decide to go direct, you can just go out and choose, you know, mutual funds or exchange traded funds yourself to make that diversified portfolio that can grow for you and provide for you now and in your golden years.
All right, Sarah, how do folks learn more about the Investment Company Institute, or ICI?
Sure, we have a website, ICI.org. I'm in the research department there, and all of our research reports are available online so people can see what have other 401k investors done with their money, or what have IRA investors done with their money, and can learn about mutual funds and mutual fund owning households as well.
Perfect. Sarah, thank you so much. This is a great time. I appreciate you joining us today, and hopefully some folks have learned some things. I know I have, and I appreciate it very much, Sarah.